So now we've gotten a big picture view of all of the linguistic tools that you'll be learning in this audio series. We've also talked about the various frames that you can use. Those are also excellent tools for any of your interpersonal communications. Now we're going to begin to really dive into language mastery and how to become a master of language. And what we're going to talk about first is what's called presuppositions. Now, presuppositions are simply linguistic assumptions. Okay, they're linguistic assumptions. Now, I want to differentiate here between the presuppositions or assumptions of NLP and creation technologies. Those were the assumptions that we discussed at the beginning of the audio series. Those are distinctly different from the presuppositions that we're talking about now. So now we're simply talking about how to recognize the linguistic assumptions in somebody's speech, what's assumed in what they're saying. There's actually two things that we can do with it. We can recognize it, and we can utilize presuppositions to create the internal representations that we want inside the mind of somebody that we're working with. So, first off, recognition. Recognition allows us to find out what they're assuming in their speech, to find out what's behind what it is that they're saying, what they're really communicating. In fact, we had one person that came through through our trainings that said that this one section alone, just on presuppositions, was worth 10 times the price of the entire training. Because he said when he got back in the workplace, he was able to recognize for the first time what people were really saying when they were communicating with him. So I'm going to teach you how to recognize that. I'm also going to teach you how to utilize presuppositions to create the thoughts in the mind of the person you're communicating with that you want rather than the ones that you don't want. So let's take a look at the different types of presuppositions that exist in the English language. And if you'd like to follow along, you can turn to your manual page on presuppositions. So first type of presupposition is the presupposition of existence. So if I give a sentence, if I say, John knew that there was a mountain behind the house, there's certain presuppositions of existence that are inherent inside that sentence that I've just said. There's an assumption of existence of certain things. There's the assumption of the existence of John. There's the assumption of the existence of the house. And there's the assumption of the existence of the mountain. John knew that there was a mountain behind the house. So all of those things are assumed inside that sentence. As we proceed through these, this will begin to make more sense to you in terms of how you can utilize it in your own life for masterful communication. But the first thing is to begin to recognize the different types of assumptions. The second type of presupposition or assumption is an assumption of possibility. An assumption of possibility. So if I were to take that sentence, John knew there was a mountain behind the house, and if I were to change it in some way, I could include a presupposition of possibility. So the mountain behind the house caused John to decide he would climb it. The mountain behind the house caused John to decide he would climb it. There's a presupposition of possibility. The ability for him to climb it is presupposed or assumed in that sentence. He decided he would climb it. Presupposes that he could climb it. There's also the presupposition in that sentence of his ability to know that there was a mountain behind the house. John realizing that there was a mountain behind the house caused him to decide he would climb it, presupposes the possibility that he's even able to know that there's a mountain behind the house. Let's look at the third sentence, cause and effect. Cause and effect. So a presupposition of cause and effect, if I were to say the mountain behind the house made John want to climb it, that presupposes that the mountain behind the house could cause him to do anything, which is a presupposition or an assumption of cause and effect. The mountain behind the house made John want to climb it. There's a presupposition or assumption of cause and effect inherent in that sentence. Let's look at the next one. Complex equivalent. John's previous mountain climbing experience meant that he could climb the mountain behind the house. John's previous mountain climbing experience meant that he could climb the mountain behind the house. Complex equivalence simply means that one thing means another. So his previous mountain in that sentence, his previous mountain climbing experience meant that he could climb the mountain behind the house, assumes that one thing means the other. That's a presupposition or an assumption of complex equivalence. The next assumption is an assumption of awareness. John realized that there was a mountain behind the house. Notice that the word realized assumes is a presupposition or an assumption of awareness. Or John became aware of the mountain behind the house. Or John knew that there was a mountain behind the house is also a presupposition of awareness. Let's look at a presupposition of time. John knew that at 6 o'clock he would climb the mountain behind the house. Or John knew that earlier in the afternoon others had climbed the mountain behind the house. Both of those sentence constructions, there's a presupposition of time. Adverb adjective presuppositions. This is another form of presupposition that might appear in a sentence. So John knew there was a beautiful mountain behind the house. John knew there was a beautiful mountain behind the house. There's a presupposition, an adverb adjective presupposition. Now, by the way, notice something as we progress through these sentences, that even though there's new types of presuppositions inherent in the questions, there's still the original presupposition, which is the presupposition of the existence of John, of the mountain, and the house. So if I say that John knew that there was a beautiful mountain behind the house, and that meant that he could climb it, notice that we've included many different types of presuppositions. There's a presupposition of existence, of John. There's a presupposition of possibility, that it's possible to climb the mountain. There's a presupposition of complex equivalence, that one thing means another. So all those, and there's a adjective presupposition, a beautiful mountain behind the house, and that meant that he could climb it. Now realize that what each of those presuppositions, the more complex we get with a sentence, the more it hides the original presuppositions, which are presuppositions of existence. So in order to make sense of that sentence, John knew there was a beautiful mountain behind the house, and that meant that he had to climb it. In order for us to make sense of that sentence, we have to accept the presuppositions or the assumptions that are inherent within it. The existence of John, for example, the existence of the house and the existence of the mountain. Let's look at an exclusive or. An exclusive or excludes certain things. There's two types of ors in terms of presuppositions. There's exclusive ors and inclusive ors. An exclusive or excludes all possibilities other than two. So John knew that the mountain was behind the house. So he either had to climb it, or he had to stay in bed. That's an exclusive or. It's one possibility or the other. John knew that there was a mountain behind the house, and that meant that he would have to climb it or do something else. That's an inclusive or, because it includes it includes the mountain behind the house and other possibilities. Two different types of ors in terms of presuppositions. And the final type of presupposition is an ordinal. So John first realized that there was a mountain behind the house, and then he realized he would have to climb it. That's an ordinal presupposition. One thing happens and then another follows. Once again, the existence of John, the existence of the house, the possibility of being able to climb it, all those things become further couched the more presuppositions or the more assumptions that we put into the sentence. So let's take a look. Now it's time to turn into your manual. So you're going to want to look in your manual for this part. And there's a page on presuppositions, and it says, in the following sentences, please distinguish between presupposition and mind read. Put a P or an MR next to each one. So you're going to have to actually follow along in the manual for this one. So wherever you are, stop the CD, pull out your manual if you don't have it already, and then you can begin the CD again, begin listening again. So here we go. Make sure that you're on the page for presuppositions, and I'm going to go through the sentences. So the first sentence is, and we want to recognize whether it's a presupposition or a mind read. So the first sentence is, I'm not sure whether or not I should stop beating my wife. That's a sentence. This is actually a client utterance inside of a therapeutic situation. I'm not sure whether or not I should stop beating my wife. By the way, if something is a presupposition, it's going to be mentioned somewhere in the sentence itself. So that's a hint or a clue as you're moving forward. If it's a presupposition, it will actually be mentioned in the sentence. So the sentence, once again, I'm not sure whether I should stop beating my wife. The first one is, he has a wife. Is that a presupposition or a mind read? It's a presupposition, right? Because he mentioned wife inside the sentence. So it's presupposed within that sentence that he has a wife. He loves his wife. Is that a presupposition or a mind read? It's a mind read. He says nowhere in that sentence that he loves his wife. The sentence was, I'm not sure whether or not I should stop beating my wife. Okay, so that's a mind read. He currently beats his wife. Is that a presupposition or a mind read? It's a presupposition. Because he said, I'm not sure whether or not I should stop beating my wife, which presupposes that he already is. Does that make sense? Okay. Next one is, he's a low-life slob who should be shot. I'm not sure whether or not I should stop beating my wife. He's a low-life slob that who should be shot. Is that a presupposition or a mind read? Yeah, it's a mind read. It's not written anywhere in there. It's true. It's true, but it's a mind read. Okay. Let's move on to the second sentence. Once again, if you don't have your manual out, pull it out. I don't see why I can't do it. All of my friends are doing it. Just maybe a child might say this, or if you're a parent. I don't see why I can't do it. All of my friends are doing it. Now, once again, we're going to distinguish that the following things are presuppositions or mind reads. He feels that he's treated unfairly. Is that a presupposition or a mind read? It's a mind read. Yeah, believe it or not, it's a mind read. I don't see why I can't do it. All of my friends are doing it. He feels that he's being treated unfairly. It's not said anywhere in the sentence. You might kind of insinuate it, but it's still a mind read. So that's a mind read. He wants to be liked by his friends. Presupposition or mind read? Mind read. Not mentioned anywhere in the sentence. This person's friends do something he doesn't do. Presupposition or mind read? That's a presupposition because that's actually mentioned in the sentence. That's actually mentioned in the sentence. This person's friends do something he doesn't do. I don't see why I can't do it. All of my friends are doing it. Right? Actually, that's a tough one. That actually could also be a mind read because he says, I don't see why I can't do it. All of my friends are doing it. Might meant that he's done it anyway, but he's being told he couldn't do it. So, you could probably go either way on that. Tough one. Here's the last one. All of his friends are bums who should be shot. That's a mind read. Okay, let's move on to the next one. Sentence number three. If I don't learn how to communicate with my boss, I won't get a raise. Number A is he feels that he's treated unfairly. Is that a presupposition or a mind read? It's a mind read. It doesn't appear anywhere in the sentence. He doesn't know how to communicate with his boss. Presupposition or a mind read? I think that's a presupposition. It's actually mentioned there in the sentence. If I don't learn how to communicate with my boss, I won't get a raise. So it's presupposed that he doesn't know how to communicate with his boss. He wants to learn new behaviors. Presupposition or a mind read? That's actually a mind read. Because he says, if I don't learn how to communicate with my boss, I won't get a raise. He doesn't say anywhere in there that he wants to learn new behaviors. Yeah. Could go either way on that way, but he really doesn't say anywhere in there that he wants to learn how to communicate with his boss. So assuming that would be a mind read. Let's see. His salary is connected to his communication skills. Presupposition or mind read? That's a presupposition. He says, if I don't learn how to communicate with my boss, I won't get a raise. That's actually a presupposition of cause and effect or complex equivalence. Getting a raise is somehow connected to his communication skills. Okay, the next one is, I have to set up unrealistic expectations. I always have to set up unrealistic expectations. First one, he can't stop making unrealistic expectations, a presupposition or a mind read. It's actually a presupposition because he says, I have to set up, have to is a modal operator of necessity. I have to set up unrealistic expectations. That would be a presupposition. He feels trapped. Is that a presupposition or a mind read? It's actually a mind read. He doesn't say the word trapped anywhere in there. Okay? He has expectations. Presupposition or a mind read? It's a presupposition. It's actually said in the sentence. Remember, that's the tip, is if it appears in the sentence, it's a presupposition. Okay? He knows when he's being unrealistic. Presupposition or a mind read? It's a presupposition. He must know it if he said it in the sentence, right? I have to set up unrealistic expectations. Good. Let's move on to the next one. I'm feeling much better now. I can see how some of the things I was doing just made me unhappy. Okay, that's the sentence. I'm feeling much better now. I can see how some of the things I was doing just made me unhappy. Now let's go through these. Some behavior he engaged in was related to some internal state. Presupposition or a mind read? That's a presupposition. He pretty much says that I can see now some of the things that I was doing just made me unhappy. Okay? He has feelings. Presupposition or a mind read? It's a presupposition. He actually said the word feelings in his sentence. I'm feeling much better now. Next one is, he has much more control over his life now. Presupposition or a mind read? That one's a mind read. He didn't say anywhere within the sentence that he had more control over his life. He simply said, I'm feeling much better now. I can see how some of the things I was doing just made me unhappy. Yeah. Next one is, he fixed himself so he shouldn't be shot. And that's a mind read as well. So that's the tour de force on presuppositions. Let's look at, there's another page on presuppositions inside your manual that we're going to go over, and this will just be fun. We're going to identify the major presupposition inside each of these sentences. By the way, what all this is moving towards is making you a master of noticing what's being said or what's really being said behind what somebody's communicating. And then the second level of this, if you will be your ability to utilize presuppositions with volition in order to develop your communication mastery. So the first sentence, we're just simply going to identify the major presupposition inside this sentence. The sentence is, if the cat meows again, I'll have to put him outside. If the cat meows again, I'll have to put him outside. What's the major presupposition inside that sentence? It's a presupposition of cause and effect. If the cat meows again, I'll have to put him outside. It's assumed that one thing equals the other. That's what we call a presupposition of cause and effect. If, then. If the cat meows again, I'll have to put him outside. Now, one thing that I'll mention at this point, my question for you is this. Based upon your knowledge of language so far that you're already gaining, you're gaining language mastery, the question is the cat male or female? Let me read you the sentence again. If the cat meows again, I'll have to put him outside. Is the cat male or female? And I'll share the answer with you when you come to the live training, okay? Sentence number two, we're looking for the major presupposition. Now, by the way, there were a lot of presuppositions in that sentence. We're just looking for the major presupposition or the major assumption. Here's the next one. It was her friendly smile that made me walk up and say hi. It was her friendly smile that made me walk up and say hi. What's the major presupposition in there? Major presupposition is actually a presupposition of cause and effect once again. It was her friendly smile that made me walk up and say hi. Something, one thing causes another. Her friendly smile made me walk up and say hi. So the major presupposition in that sentence is a presupposition of cause and effect. Next one, if only he had come home on time, the party wouldn't have gotten out of control. If only he had come home on time, the party wouldn't have gotten out of control. By the way, the major presupposition in that sentence, once again, is a cause and effect. One of the tip-offs for cause and effect is any type of if-then type statement. If he had come home on time, then the party wouldn't have gotten out of control. The then is actually implied in there. If only he had come on time, the party wouldn't have gotten out of control implies that one thing equals the other, which is cause and effect, an assumption of cause and effect. People have always given me more to do than I can handle. People have always given me more to do than I can handle. What's the major presuppositional construction inside that sentence? The major presuppositional construction in there, I believe, is a presupposition of time. People have always given me more to do than I can handle. The next one, number five, his easygoing personality is good PR for our company. His easygoing personality is good PR for our company. What's the major presuppositional construction inside that sentence? Actually, that's a complex equivalence. His easygoing personality is good for our company. That's one thing means another. Because he has an easygoing personality, that means he's good PR for our company, or that is good. I call that a complex equivalence. Next one, stop watching over your shoulder. That's the major presupposition in there is either awareness or time. Stop is a presupposition of time, and stop watching is awareness, watching, being aware of. Number seven, only you can learn this. The major presupposition in that sentence is a presupposition of possibility. Only you can learn this. It's possible to learn. That's the major presupposition. Number eight, either she goes to the store or I do. Either she goes to the store or I do is an exclusive or. Either she goes or I do. That's an exclusive or. First the winds came, then the rain. What do you think the major presuppositional construction is in that sentence? It's actually ordinal. Ordinal. First the winds came, then the rain. Right? It's not cause and effect because it's the winds and the rain. One thing doesn't cause the other. Rather than being cause and effect, it's ordinal. Opera makes me want to cry. Now that's true, by the way, but what we're looking for is the major presuppositional construction in there. Opera makes me want to cry. That's cause and effect. Makes me. Anything that makes me is cause and effect. So that's the tour de force of recognizing presuppositions within sentences. Now, knowing that will allow you to recognize the types of assumptions that people have in their speech as they speak. Now, what I want you to begin thinking about is how can you utilize presuppositions in a way that causes somebody in your language, so we looked at how to recognize it, but how can you utilize it in your language in such a way that causes people to change based upon the presuppositions inherent in your speech? By the way, how many presuppositions were there in what I just said? There's a presupposition of possibility that it's possible for them to change. There's a presupposition of possibility that it's even possible to use your language that way. So there's lots of presuppositions inherent in that. But I can utilize my language in a way where they accept the underlying principles of the sentence just to make sense out of it. So a friend of mine was having challenges with the telephone sales script, and I assisted him in refining it. One of the things that we included in the sales script was his closing question was, "Would it be best for me just to come in at such and such a time?" What's the presupposition inherent in that question? Would it be best for me just to come in at such and such a time? The major presupposition inherent in that is that he's going to come in. Would it be best for me just to come in during one of your regularly scheduled office meetings? Would it be best for me just to come in during one of your regular office meetings? Notice the presuppositions inherent in that question. And you may want to ask yourself, what's the one question you could ask, which by the very nature of all the presuppositions inherent in the question itself will cause the client, if you're working with, or if you're a coach, you may want to ask yourself this question. What's the one question that you can ask, which by the very nature of the presuppositions inherent in the question itself will cause the client or the person you're working with to create the greatest amount of change by having to accept the presuppositions inherent in answering the question? Think about that. So presuppositions are fun to play with. And we really need to have that foundation and that basis before we begin to take a look at some of the more advanced language patterns that we're going to take a look at now. If you're a little confused, that's okay. Confusion's a good place because it always precedes understanding. Confusion always precedes understanding. So in the next session, we're going to be building on what we just learned. If you don't have it all, don't worry about it. Just keep looking forward where we're heading. And I think a lot of these concepts will come in for you as we continue to move forward. So that completes our session for today. Now we've covered quite a bit between the basis of all language patterns and presuppositions. Now remember your exercise. Utilize the agreement frame at least 10 times before listening to the next CD. Remember the agreement frame. I appreciate and, I respect and, I agree and. So use that 10 times. And until tomorrow, remember, if a thing is humanly possible, consider it to be within your reach.